Our first reading today comes from Paul's first letter to the young church at Thessalonica. Paul, Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labour of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of people we proved among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit. In our gospel reading today, from the 22nd chapter of Matthew, Jesus addresses the paying of taxes. Then the Pharisee went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. May the Spirit bless us with wisdom and wonder as we ponder the meaning of these words for our lives.
Next Saturday arvo, I'm going to the Flicks. Or being translated, next Saturday afternoon, I'm going to the pictures. That's what we used to say when we were growing up. There was always a matinee, a program of films, and there was always a serial. And the serial would be something we looked forward to. What happened to that cowboy last week? And so we would go expecting to hear the story continue. These days on television and some of the serials that we love watching on a certain channel that's number two on the dial, they start off by saying previously. And it's really good for us as we think, now, actually, what did happen last week? I'm really a bit hazy. Ah, yes. And they give you little snippets of information about what happened in the week before. And then you can catch up and the story continues. Well, it's a bit like that in our gospel today. Because twice now we have heard that the authorities, that is the religious authorities, were out to trap Jesus. He had become popular and their authority was being undermined, and so they wanted to know how they could stop this rabbi, this person who was preaching and teaching and telling stories that people loved to hear, St. Mark's Gospel says, and the people heard him gladly. It's a wonderful statement. They heard him gladly. He was on their wavelength. And so last week, the story that we heard was a wonderful story about how Jesus really was wanting the kingdom to be open to all. And that's what he proclaimed. The good and the bad alike were welcome at the feast. And so we have this story continuing where the authorities now are really quite serious about stopping Jesus. So they have a meeting. This Jesus is really a pretty good wordsmith. Let's try and get him on some kind of grammatical thing. And so they sought to find out what it was that would get him. What is the thing that people hate the most? Tax. So, if we ask this question, to which whatever reply he gives, he's going to be offside with either the people for whom he is so popular or Rome. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? That was the classic question, which incidentally I think has often been misquoted, and I'll come to that in a moment. But that was the question. And so the classic answer is given. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. They hadn't trapped him. It was an answer that was brilliant. But what does it mean? What does it exactly mean? Because Jesus had taught and had come through the Jewish tradition that all was God's. You may remember at the East End Market, the facade over the market said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Not "the earth is the Lord's and bits of it," but "the fullness thereof." Now this text, "give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's," has been used as a justification for separating church and state. The church is about spiritual things, and so we come out of the world to escape from the hustle and bustle of ordinary life. We mustn't raise our voices against the government, because we are rendering to God the things that are God's. This text has been used to justify the silencing, or the attempt to silence, the voices of the church. We all know that over the years politicians have used this kind of text to try and tell the church to be quiet. Get back into your box. You're only interested in spiritual things. But there's also a time when the money changers' tables need to be overturned. You remember that story in the Gospel according to John? And what were the words that were used? "You have turned this into a den of robbers, a place of exploitation of the poor. It's to be a house of prayer for all nations." And you may remember that there are sections for the women, sections for the Gentiles, and sections for those who are really the in crowd. And Jesus came to dispel all of those barriers. We just sang that, the barriers he derides. So in this particular text, "give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's," is Jesus really separating the world from the kingdom? Although he said the kingdom is not of this world, but the kingdom that he introduces, the kingdom of love and compassion and justice, is a kingdom for all. Professor Bill Loder, in his commentary on this particular text, finishes up by saying that if you take the coin and you flip the coin, it comes down both sides God's. When Jesus talked about should we pay taxes, of course, there was no question. He didn't say, "No, don't pay your taxes." He said, "Recognize the world as it is. Recognize the world where there are the Caesars." But the interesting thing to go on from that is, how were people then to respond as they heard that statement from Jesus? Rome was in power. Rome was in charge. Do you support a regime where, from your Christian perspective, you have disagreements about the way that government is behaving? It's a question that has occurred over and over the years. When I was studying to qualify as a teacher, I studied with Dr. Basil Moore. Basil Moore was a South African who had spoken out against apartheid and was therefore a marked person. And for him, he became very disillusioned with the church in South Africa, who had not spoken out against apartheid. He came to Adelaide and, in a sense, renounced the church, but became a lecturer in religion studies. And I was privileged to sit at his feet and listen to Basil Moore, who talked about matters of justice and where we should be speaking out as a people of God against the things that we found in the work of the government and so on. There is a place for us to speak out, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, not just the bits that we call spiritual, but the whole world is God's. Flip the coin, both sides, it's God's. So as we question where we are in the world as Christians, where we question where the government is in terms of our faith, then we do speak out. We speak out against children in detention. We speak out against all kinds of things, the environment. There are so many issues that this text gives us leave to speak about. Is this coin belonging to Caesar or to God? It all belongs to God.